gang. I'm out of here. DJ D, WFO 91.5. It's the Dance Music Express music series. And stick around because Molly's coming up chatting with Molly. Love you, girl.
Let's go, girls.
Afternoon, Medford. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Test Freeform Radio. This is Molly, and you're listening to Chatting with Molly. For those of you who were listening the hour before, shout out to DJ D for Dance Music Express. Great time, 11 to 12, right before your scheduled programming of Chatting with Molly. So we are back, people, after an abroad hiatus of a semester. I'm sure you guys missed me. I sure missed the station. And we just listened to Man, I Feel Like a Woman by Shania Twain. So today we're going to be chatting a bit. I have a special guest who will be arriving soon. The theme for today that I think we're going to talk about is you live and you lose, the effects of failure on our success, because I've really had a fair amount of failure in the last 24 hours. We got a little robotics project, didn't quite go as planned, but that's life. And so just to get things set up, we're going to listen to a little bit more music. I'll get my guest set up. We'll unveil who he or she is. And then we'll get chatting. So stick around, people, and it'll be a good time. All right, so up next is Dancing in the Moonlight. Let's see if we can get this going.
Thank you. wants and just sits on his broke ass soul.
No,
I don't want your number.
No,
I don't wanna give you mine. And
no,
I don't wanna meet you nowhere.
No,
don't want none of your time. And no,
I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me.
He's still checking me, but his game is kinda weak, and I know that he cannot approach me, cause I'm looking like class and he's looking like trash. Can't give with a can't be that.
Was a little No Scrubs by TLC, just a classic jam. So we have our guest in house. Guest, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Kate.
Sweet. Thanks for being here, Kate. Kate is a, we like to call her a certified homie because she is just a great friend to have around and in the station for sure.
Thank you.
So, Kate, thanks for being on the show today. How's your day going?
Day is going great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to turn up the volume. Oh, there we go. Now I can hear myself.
Great. Okay.
Day is going great. I have no class until 4:30. So I
wow.
Just truly chilling.
Yeah. And in the classic Chatting with Molly style, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Well, I had overnight oats, which consists of oatmeal, chia seeds, milk and yogurt, and blueberries, which sounds really nasty.
Yeah.
And probably
you're right,
is. And it looks disgusting, but it tastes amazing, very filling. Chia seeds, when you put liquid on them, just become massive. Like their volume expands so much.
Got it.
And so it feels like you're eating a lot, but
they're really just great. Little chia seeds.
Really just little chia seeds. Yeah. And so you let it sit for a while. Like, and I make like a huge batch of it.
Oh,
let it sit for a few days.
So you do it overnight? Like, because I know I have a housemate who loves the overnight oats.
Oh, yeah.
And she just pours milk, chia seeds, and oats and wakes up in the morning and then eats it, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you heat it up?
No, it's cold.
What?
Yeah.
I feel like you could, I mean, if you wanted hot oatmeal, you could just heat it up.
You probably could, yeah. I've never tried it though.
And you put the blueberries in after or while it's like rising?
I put it in while it's rising, but you can also put it in after.
Okay.
So yummy.
Yeah.
Would That's recommend.
Great.
Yeah.
That is great. Wow. As I'm sure listeners know, I'm a big fan of breakfast, and I think that's great that you have a good filling breakfast, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't eat breakfast, and I think it's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It's missed opportunity, at the very least.
The most important meal of the day.
Yeah. Great. So, Kate, I introduced the show by saying the theme would be, you live and you lose.
Okay.
The
I like that.
The importance of failure.
Yes.
Because I'm just feeling especially in the mood of failure because I had a pretty horrible robotics project mishap last night and this morning. Basically, the assignment was we had to like use this complicated pie board, and that was the hard part. But the assignment was really make your robot do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And my robot did nothing. So I really missed the assignment, in even though it was the widest it possibly could. But, you know, we bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think life will go on.
I think so, too.
I remember I was watching the CEO of Spanx company. Do you know Spanx? Those, like...
Yeah. The, like...
Underwear things that, like, suck you in. Yeah. She built up this business by herself, and she was on CNN for some reason, and she said, every day when I would come home from school, my father would ask me something I failed at, because it was important to highlight the things you fail, because if you're not failing, you're not pushing yourself. And I wanted to know if you have any, I don't know, if you have any opinions, thoughts, anecdotes of past failures that you want to share or just kind of talk about.
I fully agree with that. I really like that. I think one reflection is that, like, I feel like I don't have a ton of, like, distinct failures in my life,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a shame, because I think I haven't been pushing myself super hard. And, like, a lot of things that have happened to me, I kind of just shrug them off. I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
So maybe if I probably have failed a lot, but just don't really acknowledge it too much. But I think I'm growing anyways. But I think a recent failure of mine was, like, just, I have a lot of, like, physical injuries that have happened to me.
Let's dive in, Kate.
Let's dive in. A lot of times where I've made, like, really just big, like, stupid mistakes that have, like, set me back in certain capacities. And I think that's, like, maybe a form of failure. It's just being, like, not careful.
Yeah. That's hard, though, because everyone, like, those things just kind of are going to happen, and there's very little you can do to prevent. Do you want to share what happened to your finger?
Oh, I was actually not thinking of my finger, but I can share what happened to my finger.
Okay, I'd like you to share.
Here's a failure. I was trying to successfully cut a sweet potato, and I did not. In fact, I also cut my finger, a piece of my finger off as well. And then I had to get a bunch of stitches. But to me, that's like, maybe I failed at successfully cutting a sweet potato, but that's not like a form of growth.
Yeah, it's true.
But I think, like, I was thinking more of, like, I got a bunch of concussions recently, and I, like, dropped a canoe on my head, and it just kind of, like, knocked out a lot of my brain cells.
Dang it, yeah. I hate when that happens.
And I think, like, regardless of whether or not that's really considered a failure in any capacity, it is still such a way to grow and develop, because it's like I'm so extroverted. I'm really physically active. And those are two things that I really struggled with, struggled to do. And then I was like really unhappy because of it. And then I had to like totally kind of reframe how I thought about things and like the way I did things. I'm super disorganized. I had never used an agenda book or a calendar or anything before that point in time. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't remember anything.
Right.
I can't store anything in my brain. And so I had to readjust my whole life and like figure things out. So I think that's like also maybe not quite a failure, but a parallel to a failure.
Oh, I mean.
In the outcomes.
Yeah. Wow. Good for you for like having, I mean, I guess you had no choice in the matter, yeah. but you just had to really like figure it out because there's no one who's doing this alongside you mm-hmm. who like has had the same, because I don't know, with these concussions, it's just like so out of your control. And everyone experiences it so differently. And that's so interesting that you're so active and not getting to exercise like while concussed can actually like be really detrimental to other parts of your life. So,
absolutely.
Wow, good for you. Oh, Siri is recognizing me as she does.
Yes.
Yeah, I think failure's tough, man. It, mm-hmm. it really sucks. And like, especially when there's a lot of it. And you can't really see past it. But, yeah, I think we grow from it.
Yeah.
And so now do you use your agenda book?
No.
Okay.
That's a habit that I think, like, I use a calendar. I have, like, a set of reminders. I don't use an agenda book because I recognize that's something I will never be able to successfully use.
Yeah.
And, like, maybe I think the proper response to that is, like, well, with that mindset, you definitely won't. But I also, like, I use a calendar now. Mm-hmm. I have a set of reminders and kind of, like, organize things.
Yeah.
But,
cool.
Yeah, but I think I fail at a lot of my goals. Like, I set a lot of goals for myself, and I fail at probably almost everyone.
Like what?
having a clean room.
Yeah. I feel that.
That is something I've never... Every single year, I'm like... Or not every year. I'd say every month, I'm like, I would love to just, like, have a clean room. And it makes me feel really good. And I think it's something that's pretty easy to maintain. And I start, I'm really motivated. And then it just kind of, like, fizzles off. Clothes are on the floor.
Oh,
things
yeah.
are places. I moved into my house in June, and I still haven't unpacked, like, all of my stuff. I did not go abroad.
Yeah.
I was living there. I've been living there since. So,
yeah.
I think, like, that's... There's a lot of things I struggle with.
Yeah.
In terms of goal setting and, like, achieving them.
Yeah. That's funny you say the room, because I literally have the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I love walking into a clean room, yet I just cannot provide that for myself. I do not know why. But I don't know. I think the key is to, like, not give up. Just, like, every month when you're like, I'm going to have a clean room, and you look back and you're like, I've said that for the last 10 months.
Yeah.
Just got to be like, all right, well, maybe for this month I really will do it. Mm-hmm. And then I have hope for us.
Absolutely.
You know?
I think so. I think I like the idea of acting in short spurts, too. It's like, let's do this for a month. Just, like, have a clean room, 30 days, and then... Money back guarantee.
Right. So true. Gotta love that money back guarantee.
Yeah.
All right. So changing gears a little bit. What are you up to this weekend? How's your semester going?
Semester's been pretty good. A little bit of a slow start with some of my classes.
Okay.
A lot of professors sick/away at conferences, which is really cool. Like, they're doing a lot of really interesting stuff. I'm a civil engineering student, and one of my professors was recently at does hydraulics and, like, water diplomacy, and was in Saudi Arabia doing kind of water diplomacy.
Whoa.
Stuff, which is really cool.
That's really cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
I am excited for this weekend, just for the weekend aspect, typical stuff.
Yes, so it goes.
And one thing I'm excited for, like, maybe in future things, is, like, getting a lot more running in. I'm starting to get into long distance running a lot.
Heck,
I'm trying to, like, push that a little more.
Yeah. Do you want to tell people what you did over... So, Kate has this thing where she likes to do very extreme races during finals.
Yeah.
Every semester.
I'm trying to keep that tradition going.
Yeah.
I ran during finals week of... I'm sorry. I'm so distracted right now because I just looked over at your robot and it has tiny hands on it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, so for those of you who aren't in the studio right now, I built a robot. And it didn't, like previously discussed, it didn't quite do what it was supposed to do. And how this class works is every Wednesday we show up with our project and we just kind of go around and share. And so, and originally this assignment is supposed to be peer graded, which is very easy to manipulate, honestly. If you have a good story and your robot doesn't work, people are like, oh, that's awesome. So I found these tiny hands and I put it on to distract people from the fact that my robot didn't work. And it kind of worked, honestly. It didn't. So the professor changed the peer grading thing because too many people's just didn't work this week. And so it was too hard for us to grade. And so, but I did get an applause when I showed them my robot that didn't work but has tiny hands on it. And someone's who worked and did very cool things but no tiny hands got no applause.
Whoa.
So I think we know where we stand.
College students love tiny hands.
Exactly. I would agree.
Here's a funny story. Is without a lot of details, one morning I woke up with 10 tiny hands on my floor.
Oh my God.
That all said Tish Roof on them.
And so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. If you ever need them, let me know.
Okay. Honestly, with this robot class, I might need a lot of distracting tiny hands. So
okay, here's the thing. I also have tiny hands.
Oh, for real?
It's like the next level. Okay. If you want to start making fractals and stuff.
Okay. So you put each tiny hand on the finger of the previous bigger tiny hand.
Well, so you can, but I think it also fits on your normal fingers too. But they're really small. Like, okay. I have to keep them in a special box because I'm not going to lose them.
Okay.
So yeah, let me know.
Awesome.
That is so funny.
Yeah, tiny hands are good.
So did the robot work at any point, or it just never worked? And
so last night it did. Okay, we'll just get nitty gritty robot talk right now. Okay. Our assignment was to hook up. We have these EV3s, which is this like Lego education set that your kid's looking at right now. And it's funny because when you Google tutorials of them, it's just like a bunch of 14-year-old boys being like, hey guys, Builder 35 back again with the EV3. And so I've been watching a lot of 14-year-old boys. But
take that out of context.
Yeah, exactly. And so basically, you can hook them up to your computer, code them, run them. Mm-hmm. But a more complicated thing is to hook them up to a microprocessor, which is called the type we're using, a Pi board. And then that can communicate with Wi-Fi and can actually like go retrieve data from the cloud. And so we have these like dashboards. I'm using a lot of buzzwords here.
Yeah.
Microprocessor, dashboard. And so just if you're just nodding along, don't worry, I am too. But basically there's like a thing you can pull up on your phone, just a website, and you can like control the robot from your phone without it having been plugged into the computer. So that's kind of what we are doing. Sounds pretty straightforward or not, but it's very difficult. There's a lot of weird code that you have to just kind of like blindly do, and then when it breaks, it's like, well, I don't know how to fix this because I blindly did it.
Right.
But that's okay, we're figuring it out. This class is really interesting. It's every Wednesday we have a project due, and like most of class is just presenting, and then he'll like teach us a bit, and then Monday we'll like teach a little bit more but also just kind of debug, like go over our problems. And so it's a lot of just like Googling things and figuring things out, which is a great way to learn, but takes a lot of time.
Absolutely.
So that's been kind of tough, but I think I'm learning. So
yeah, that's probably the best way to learn too, because it's like you really struggle through it versus just being handed everything.
Right. How do you feel like, maybe Civies started this process earlier, but I feel like this is my first semester that I'm like, this is relevant stuff. And I mean, it's not easy. It's not like probably the most interesting, but I do feel like for the first time, it's like, oh, I actually had to have a little bit of knowledge to do this class.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, it was just like all these prereqs that didn't feel necessary. How do you feel?
I was, it's funny, we were like slightly having this conversation a few days ago, and mm-hmm. I felt like maybe probably not a ton of knowledge, and then my classes kind of shifted gears and I was like, wait, you actually need the knowledge to do this. And I think it was just because it was like the first 2 weeks of the semester, and they're just like, here's a review of all of fluid mechanics and all of this, and then they're like, now we're gonna do differential equations.
Buckle up.
So I think like since we've last discussed this, it's definitely shifted for me. And this is, I think, let me check about what I took last semester. But I do think there was a few classes last semester where I was like, I needed some prior knowledge to be able to understand this. Or I guess understand it as well.
Yeah.
Like I was in this groundwater class and we were using a lot of like equations of flow. And I was like, mm-hmm. I didn't need to take fluid mechanics to understand this, but having that really helped me in this class.
Right, totally.
So I think there's some level of that as well, where it was like, yeah, you could walk in and just take it, but this helped.
Yeah. So before we went on air, you were telling me you're learning Python.
I am.
So what is that for?
So that is for one of, I'm in this water resource systems modeling class.
Nice.
And my professor was like, MATLAB is a prerequisite, you need to have statistics, whatever. And then he's like, wait, but actually you have to use Python. And I was like, well, I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I've used it kind of briefly in other contexts that were very different from this.
Yeah.
And I have a homework assignment due soonish. Here I am on like Stack Exchange, which is kind of just a site for people posting their problems in computer science and others responding with their answers. So I've been perusing that, learning some pretty basic stuff. Feels exciting. I have a decent knowledge in computer science that kind of allows me to learn more, which I feel is really good and very helpful in this context.
Yeah.
But I was sharing before, like, it's so exciting learning this new thing because it's like, yeah, I could go on MATLAB, but I kind of like roll my eyes and it's MATLAB. So I'm very excited to be learning Python. My professor is super stoked on it, and everyone in the class seems to know Python pretty well, except for, it's a mixed grad and undergrad class.
Oh, wow.
So the grad students are all, like, really excited about Python. Undergrads are, like, MATLAB all the way.
Right.
And I'm trying to switch over to Python because I think that that's helpful. The professor knows Python really well. And just, like, learn a new thing. Why not?
Yeah. That's awesome. I think Python is one of those languages that is used in everything, in absolutely everything. Like, I'm in this artificial intelligence class, and it's taught by someone who's only, like, has a real job. Professor is a real job, but, like, has a job in the field and teaches at night. Okay. And so he's like, yeah, you guys have to do it in Python. I know that some of you don't know Python because we don't, like, formally teach it in the computer science curriculum, but you just have to do it because everyone in the field uses Python. And, like, for this robotics thing, it's Python. It's just, Python is so malleable because people have just adopted it as the place they're gonna, like, write special packages for, and then you can just, like, use those.
It's pretty wild. Incredible.
Yeah.
That's good, though, that they're incorporating that aspect of the industry in there, too.
Yeah.
Where it's like someone comes in from the field and is like, this is what people use in the field, start using it.
Right.
And that, I think that's so helpful when you're out looking for a job in the future and you're like, I know this now.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I was in Comp 11, which is like the intro Comp Sci class, for one day last semester, and I dropped it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I entered Halligan for the first time ever.
Wow. Halligan is the computer science building that is very infamous for people staying up really late and, like, talking about how hard they work and all that
being
good stuff.
Being stressed out.
Yeah.
I went in one time, I did the first lab, and then I was like, I'm going to drop this class.
A little Hello World lab.
Yeah, exactly. So I took it for one day, and I emailed the professor, and I was like, I've heard some rumblings of perhaps teaching Python in the future. Like, do you think that'll happen anytime soon? And he was kind of like, ideally, yes, but also that requires such an overhaul of like every computer science class, because basically every computer science class is taught in a different language.
Right.
And so that would require like not only the intro class to be taught in Python, but also like every other course in the major to be taught that way. And so it's kind of hard to have that. But Python's so useful in just like everything you do. Like I'm in civil engineering and we're using Python. You're in your computer science, so in mechanical engineering. So obviously you use Python, but like in the field it's very useful. So it's like, when are we gonna switch over?
Yeah.
But it's just like so big of a problem that it's maybe delaying.
Man. Yeah, that's too bad. They should just jump in 2 feet, you know.
Hot take on the CS department.
Hot take. CS department is having a lot of growing pains right now, I think. Mm. They are just like, they have not been able to hold staff for as long as they want. Like they lost an amazing professor last year who really like convinced 2 class years of people to become computer science majors. And like, I don't know if you've heard of her, Lainey Strange, and she, Tufts just couldn't keep her. She went to Northeastern because they gave her a better thing. Mm-hmm. So that's really too bad. But I think they'll figure it out. Nowadays everyone wants to be a comp sci major.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's jumping on the boat, but which is good because it's important.
For sure.
Yeah. Man, what do you think of this weather?
Love it.
Pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's a little concerning.
But
also, I'm out in shorts.
Right. It's like February.
Yeah. I don't know what's up with that. Did the groundhog see a shadow?
So the groundhog, I always forget about this dang groundhog. Is seeing the shadow. I think we can all agree it's pretty stupid. So is seeing the shadow an early spring?
Seeing the shadow is late spring.
I think he did not. I think it was early spring was his judgment. But not this early.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, fun fact about this stupid groundhog. He's only right 40% of the time, which is less good than flipping a coin. Because he has 2 choices. So he should have a 50% chance, and he performs under that. So I think we should continue to listen to him, people.
Yeah.
Man.
Wait, so how do we determine whether he's right? Like, what defines spring?
I think there's, like, I don't know. I'm no geologist, as you are. I don't even know if that has to anything. I'm no climatologist. But I'm sure there's like some threshold of temperature or snowfall that, if it like happens after March 1st or whatever the date is. I'm sure they, smart people, have some type of measurement.
I see.
Yeah. Okay, so those of you who are WMFO fans know that every hour we have to say a little PSA because we are a freeform education radio. So this is brought to you, I think just it says a message in the public interest, which is always good. Okay, so numbers to think about. Worldwide prison populations. The United States has the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the U.S., and a rate of 730 per 100,000 people. China, which is 4 times more populous than the U.S., is a distant second with only 1.5 million people in prison. But they have 4 times the people, a rate of 117 per 100,000. While Russia has the second highest rate, 606 per 100,000, total of 865,000. Numbers to think about, a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Interesting.
That is pretty wild. Have you seen the documentary 13?
I have not.
It is on Netflix. It's about the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. And it's about how while abolishing slavery, we still have kind of systematic and hurtful things that keep people doing slave labor, which is the biggest example is prisoners. Because prisoners have to work and provide a lot of services like license plate stamping and whatever else of like jobs they do for no money. And that's like slavery. And that is a pretty crazy, horrible thing that we just have like so many prisoners that are locked up for no reason.
Absolutely.
Hopefully our politicians or community activists will do something about that.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. They had this thing where certain farms were able to get contracts with prisoners and they would pay them. Like, I guess if you think about prisoners, though, they have a place to live, they're being fed food, and like regardless of the quality of that is some amount of money that we have to invest in their like housing and living situations. And they had like a farm basically contracted prisoners and they would pay them at a lesser rate. So like maybe if the minimum wage was $10, they'd pay them $5 or $6 an hour. But it was some sort of income, some sort of like way to save up money. And granted, not at the full price of their labor, but recognizing that like they're not expending any money on like, if I was getting a job, you know, like I'm being paid $15 an hour because I'm paying for food, I'm paying for rent, I'm paying for this, I'm paying for that. Versus they don't have those expenses. So it was, and it was interesting because they got these people to come work on their farm. And they sold their eggs to like Whole Foods or something. And then people got upset because they were not being paid minimum wage. So there's an interesting political discussion there too. Because it's like, yes, we need to acknowledge them as like a member of the community in some way. But like, at what point do we also acknowledge that they're not paying for things that minimum wage needs to cover? Like the point of having a minimum wage is that like, a living wage is probably defined differently for a prisoner versus someone who's not in prison.
It's true.
So interesting.
Yeah.
And then they eventually had to cut the contract because people were very up in arms about it.
Wow. That seems like really too bad.
It's a compromise in some way. And I think people were upset with the fact that we compromised in both directions. And so now they have nothing.
And people are like, oh, the system's broken. I guess that's just the way it is. But as soon as you try to do something and don't fix it completely, they're like, well, you can't break it a little bit. Yeah. I don't know. I think prison reform is really tricky. And it's funny you bring that example of farms because I think I worked at this organization in Israel where they would, part of probation, if you would like, have good behavior, you could do work in this soup kitchen that I worked in to lessen your sentence. And so I was working with like a bunch of ex-felons or like current felons that were serving their time. They were like nice enough. I didn't have great Hebrew, so I wasn't like conversing with them a ton. But they were just like worked very hard, were like great, like there was a lot of like heavy lifting and like big things we had to do, and that was a really like great thing for them to do because a lot of these like little American volunteers who'd come in like me like couldn't do a lot of that stuff. And so I realized that it's such a great opportunity to have someone build skills while they're in prison or like serving their time, however. And so I just think it'd be such a great opportunity because the biggest thing about prison reform is how to get people who go out of prison not to go back in. And it's like really hard to get hired with a record because every job app you have to check that box and all that stuff. And so I think like cooking, farming are amazing like skills and outlets for ex-felons to be able to get back into the work world. So if you like work on a farm for the 2 years in prison, you can go up to a farm who needs a lot of labor and be like, hey, I know the intricacies of like crop rotation. So let me be on your farm. I think it's just so important to make sure like prisoners have the opportunity to acquire skills to get themselves back on the saddle.
Especially because being in prison is, there's kind of this also opportunity cost of not being able to go out and acquire skills. Like right now I'm in college, I'm learning Python, I'm learning skills in my classes.
Yeah.
But if I was in prison, that would not be the case at all.
Right.
Like, it's totally different. So it's like, they're missing out on so much, but it's like, we need to fill in that gap to reincorporate them. I went to the Suffolk County prison over the summer.
You did?
For a tour. I didn't go.
Oh, okay. You just did a little prison sentence this summer.
And it was so fascinating. And one thing that I remember, the people who led the tour said, they were like, it is a revolving door for so many people.
Wow.
They're in, they're back out, and they're back in.
That's horrible. That's so sad.
It's so sad. But honestly, like, we got to see the women's prison, and the stuff that these women, the women who, like, led the tour and are basically in charge of that area of the prison, do for their, the women in prison is so phenomenal. Like, so much better than what I've heard other prisons do, but they're kind of operating in the constraints that the prison as is kind of has in place around.
Got it.
And so...
So what types of things are these?
So they have a lot of educational programs. They have a lot of ways for women to, like, reincorporate into society in certain ways.
Okay.
But it's hard, and I'm trying to think of, like, specific examples. And but they're definitely restricted by, like, where prisoners are allowed to go, what kind of jobs they're allowed to get. And so it just, like, becomes this cycle of them not really having the resources to do the things they want to do.
Yeah.
Not really having the freedom to do things they want to do because of, like, the way prisoners are treated in our society.
Yeah.
So, but it's interesting to see how people can operate so well within those constraints.
Yeah.
But very interesting. One thing that they said that was very interesting was, like, volunteering at prisons is not so useful because there's so much turnover, and these people need something stable in their lives. And so, like, volunteering for a semester, like, Tufts has a program which is excellent.
Like, what's it called, like, Green
PD Green which is awesome, but, like, so much of that is, like, if there's a lot of turnover, it kind of creates this instability in prisoners' lives that they want to eliminate.
Interesting.
And not
good to know.
Not to like disparage that the PD Green program, because I think it's still still awesome, and I think, like, I don't know, I've never been involved in PD Green, so I don't know exactly, like, what goes on, but just interesting to think about, like, volunteer work and how, like, having a new teacher or something, like, I don't know if they work with the same prisoners every week or like whether it's kind of this rotating thing anyways, and so I don't know exactly. But
just thoughts. That's a big lesson I learned, like, after high school, is that it's not always about intent. You can come in trying to do so much good and wanting to put in so many hours and so many resources and fundraise, whatever, but that doesn't mean it's actually doing good. It could actually do harm.
Right.
And you got to be really careful, especially, like, with what you were saying with prisoners. You got to, like, know the system you're walking into. And that comes up a lot with, like, foreign service and going to volunteer places. And people get very, like, aggressively down and, like, oh, volunteerism, it's like people are so selfish, they just want to take pictures. I actually think, like, people who go on those some trips that, like, aren't effective and whatever, they aren't doing it out of malice. They're not doing it out of selfish, oh, I want to go take pictures. It's, they really do, like, want to help, and they just weren't given the knowledge and tools to know how to do that.
Right.
Which is too bad. I really think, like, all these organizations that give, like, foreign aid that maybe are sometimes more destructive, they're really just trying to do help, to do good work.
Right. Impact over intent.
Yeah. Impact over intent.
Interesting.
Yeah. But so the prison tour you went on, how did that come about?
This summer I was working as a Tisch Summer Fellow, which is basically our loving donor, Jonathan Tisch, the College of Civic Life here has basically internships / fellowships that are available to students who are interested in pursuing like nonprofit or government work, and basically provides funding for them. So they've established a certain number of internships, probably like 150 or so.
There's 150 Tishbos?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
There's not a ton, like not a lot in engineering.
Right.
But it's still worth checking out if you're interested.
Yeah.
But they provide funding for internships that would usually be unpaid. Like I worked with another intern this summer at my position, mm-hmm. which was with the Mystic River Watershed Association.
Yeah.
And she was like, pretty close, like I think she got a stipend, but it was like a lot smaller,
man.
That's
tough.
So they, as part of that funding, they require you to attend different events, and they put on a lot of different events. So we had like a kickoff event, a closing event, and then in between there are a lot of lectures that they put on.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of them was like Moon Duchin, who's the researcher
yes.
in the math department, who's doing some really cool research on like advanced geometries.
She's
gerrymandering.
Yeah, so the Supreme Court decision that struck down the Pennsylvania districts had to then redirect, be like, okay, these are unconstitutional, but how are we going to get constitutional ones? Mm-hmm. And she was picked to do the redistricting.
Yeah.
Moon Duchin. Very cool.
And she's such a captivating speaker, too. Yeah. Like, I was listening to her talk, and like, the way she speaks is very entertaining and interesting and easy to understand.
Yeah.
And so, would recommend if she's ever doing it again.
Yeah.
It was really cool. So, they put on a talk for her, and like, we got to go, and then they have a bunch of different other events that are in various places, and one of them was a tour of the Suffolk County Prison.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is cool. That's a very cool opportunity. Yeah. My dad, who is listening right now, worked for the federal court system in Iowa.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of the civil cases were prisoner petitions, because prisoners have rights to file petitions over really anything, like, mm-hmm. oh, this is, because you can't have cruel or unusual punishment, and there's, mm-hmm. like, a lot of other rules that he'll probably text me about later, and that they can be like, oh, my facilities aren't up to this and that. Mm-hmm. So he would get a lot of prisoners' petitions, and for some of them, he would go to these federal prisons and hear the cases there. And that, he said, was just a striking experience. These were, I forget what level of security, but he just said the food was better than he expected, but the living conditions were worse.
Interesting.
And I'm sure prisons really vary on that.
Absolutely.
Like federal to state to county, but also just region to security levels and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah,
that's
a
very eye-opening experience.
Yeah,
for sure.
I hope I never go to prison. That is
Me
a
too.
Goal of mine.
No failures.
No failures there. That is high stakes.
Yeah.
Man. Well, callers, I want to remind you that this is a show that takes callers. Did I say callers? I meant listeners. Listeners, I want to remind you that this is a show that takes callers. And so the number for that is 855-915-9636, and that is 915-WMFO if you're looking at your keypad with the letters, which is also our station ID that you can tune into if you're in the Boston area right now. Let's check our listeners. We have when we started we had 13 and now it's not coming up.
Oh
we Someone's got a
calling.
Caller. Oh, I think it is the infamous or famous Richard Lippman. Let's see if I remember how to put you on air. Let's see.
This happened to me once.
Hello, Molly.
Hello.
It is your dad. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Dad?
I'm just great. I'm here in a small hotel in San Francisco waiting to board a ship.
Nice. Do you want to tell our listeners what adventure you're about to go on?
Yes. I am about to go on a big adventure. In fact, I consider it so. I board the Cunard Queen Victoria later today and basically sail west for 2 months to Hawaii, Samoa, Tonga, New Zealand, Australia, Hong Kong, Vietnam, and Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty exciting. And what are you looking forward to most? What stop?
Not having to do anything.
Yep. Sounds about right.
I've been listening to your radio show with you and Kate. It's an excellent show.
Great. Thanks, Dad.
Sorry about the robotics project.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, life goes on, though.
Life goes on, yeah. And I think you're absolutely right about you learn the most from failure if you process it correctly.
Right.
Yeah, we would agree. Well, thanks for calling in. And
you're welcome.
I don't know. This might be your last listen. I don't know what availability to listen you'll have on the boat.
I will not. So this will be my last listen for a while. But keep up the good work.
Thank you. And have a good trip, Dad.
Have a great trip.
Thank you. Love you, sweetie.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
All right.
Wow, that is an incredible journey.
Oh, yeah. He's about to really embark on a good journey. He found this cruise line called Cunard that just, like, does these crazy world cruises, and he's retired, has some time, mm-hmm. so he loves them, so why not? Yeah.
Is anyone else from your family going?
No, just him.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. It's just till, like, March.
Just till March. Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah. Yeah, he likes his little adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta have them.
Yeah, exactly. I hope to adventure like that one day. Yeah. All right. We are rounding the end of the hour. We didn't play much music, which I guess is a good sign that we were just talking our own ears
chatting
off.
Chatting with Molly.
Yeah, just chatting with Kate, chatting with Molly. But we will have a song to close out. Kate, do you have any requests?
I do not.
Okay. We will go with Queen, Don't Stop Me Now.
Oh my gosh.
Because I saw Bohemian Rhapsody a while ago, and I loved it. Oh man, we didn't even. So the Oscars are coming up soon. I guess we'll talk about that in future weeks. Super Bowl happened. That was pretty fun. We had a party at my abode, and Kate mm-hmm. came. It was pretty fun, right?
Yes.
And what else happened this week? Oh, Andy Cohen, for those of you who are Bravo fans, Real Housewives, he is this, like, single man. And he wanted to have a baby, so he got a surrogate, and now he has a baby. For those of you who love Bravo Andy. And with that, we will play a little Queen, and I will see you guys next week. Peace out.
A real good time. I feel alive. See you.